And a very pleasant good afternoon to you on this Thursday. Wow, we're just clicking off the days of this month, and tomorrow ends the five-day part of our broadcast day, our broadcast week, and we will be on the tail end of things here with 1 week left. So the 22nd day of April, and a week from tomorrow ends April. That's hard to believe. A week from this Saturday, we start May the 1st. Of course, it didn't feel like it. it didn't feel like it at all. And we got one more night to get through. We'll talk about the weather forecast here shortly. But my, a blackberry winter decided to show up. And it came in strong. We had a low here of 24 and a high of 63 outside the studio here. And outside the GCR studios, they had a low of 25. And that was right close with me, 24. But the high only got to 58 there in Pisgah Forest. We are a little bit on the other side of the mountain, get a little bit more of the sun sometimes, but it we did get up to a 63, which is, you know, April. That's okay, I guess. But we'll see. Tonight we'll be dealing with some more of it, and we'll see how things go. Let's jump over here and say thank you to some folks today. We want to say thank you to the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, who have sponsored AM 720 today. They do so in love and appreciation for Pastor Josh Martin and his wife, Pamela. And we say thank you to the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We appreciate you folks standing with us today here at WGCR AM 720. And we sure also appreciate you honoring your pastor and his dear wife. FM 94.9 and the Anchor Baptist Broadcasting Network, which includes WGCR.net, the preaching, the music, and the video channels, is being sponsored in thankfulness for the goodness of the Lord. So to the anonymous person who sponsored the FM and the network, thank you so much for doing so today. We appreciate that so very much. And yes, we need to be thankful always. God is good, and you probably have heard this 1,000 times. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So there you go. We went through the whole day, and not any birthdays, not any anniversaries. So must have been a bad day for those kind of things to happen. So there we go. Let's take a look here, and I almost am afraid to refresh this map, because when I do, it usually gets worse, but we're going to see here. I'm going to go over to the Asheville side of things. And yeah, it did get a little worse. It did get too much bad, but it's bad. Let's start off with the new 26 coming out of the Monford area. Just, you'll be okay passing the University of North Carolina Asheville exit, and then you're going to slow down. And coming into 240, 240 is back up, and it comes through right as you come around the curve. You're going to start to slow down, and then it's going to get even slower as you go over the Charlotte Street area on the road there. And then Merriman Avenue, it stays that way all the way to across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. And even if you want to continue on, and go on to alternate 74, it also stays pretty slow until you get to right about, I'd say, I think, if I remember rightly, there's a Shell station there, and that's about where it's going to start breaking loose, the Chipotle Mexican Grill right in that area. Now, 240, and you're coming up trying to make the curve to go over the Jeff Bowen Bridge. Before you get to the curve, you're going to slow down and then really slow down as you merge onto the 240 there as it makes that curve and go across the Jeff Bowen Bridge. It'll get better. So that's the good news there. It's not as bad going that direction. Now let's come down into Malfunction Junction, and we're going to come off of 40 westbound and slow down, and you're 26-240, all that coming off from the eastbound. That's all trying to merge in there to go towards Hendersonville, and it'll stay that way until you get to the French Broad River, and then it clears up going towards Hendersonville. Now, we're going to go the other direction. I'm going to come back down to just below Long Shoals. So the backup, it's slow, and it gets slower as you get to Long Shoals. It is not stopped, but it is like that all the way up to Brevard Road, headed towards Asheville. So that is a mess. And then I've seen traffic here, but this time it is really, really slow and stop. If you're coming off of Clayton Road trying to get on to 191, you're going to stop right there at Show Creek Landscape, and you're going to just be stop and go. And then when you turn to go on to 191 Brevard Road, both directions is slow, but the northbound up through Sandy Bottom, up down to almost to Bent Creek Baptist Church, and that's where that finally breaks loose. That's the longest I've ever seen that there. Not sure what the world's going on there. And then let's go down into Avery's Creek and Long Shoals Road and go the other direction. We look pretty good, except right there at Long Shoals Road. That's the only place that I see there. Let's take a look. Now we get past Long Shoals, both directions, I-26. We can make it all the way past the airport, all the way into Henderson County, and it looks like we can make it all the way into Columbus. So it clears up there. That's good news. We're looking at 64, and again, that area where they've been working on, just past the, right about where the double, both sides have I know what I want to say, but my brain won't let me get the cemeteries. There we go. And it is going to be stop and go and slow to the Elijah Jim mine. And then coming back, it's just slow, but it doesn't stop and go like it does headed towards Brevard. So you've got that to contend with if you're on 64. 191 Mills River down to Hendersonville, no issues there. 280 down to Pisgah Forest, no issues there. Get past that Elijah Jim mine, and you're good to go all the way to Pisgah Forest as well. So, yeah, seen it worse. I've seen it better. Let's take a look down into the upstate and see what's going on there. And we're looking at an accident. And, oh, boy, has it got traffic slow. Mile marker 52.4. This is going to be in the Gateway Project that was finished. 85 northbound between exit 51C, Interstate 385 North Greenville, and exit 56 South Carolina 14 in Greer, which is the airport. The distance is 3 miles. And the average speed is about 30 miles an hour. And we'll just take a few more camera views here. And it looks like when you get up to Pelham Road, it is northbound is picking up a little bit of speed, but both north and southbound are going very slow. I'm going to say they're headed about, 12, 20 mile an hour at best from what I can see. We'll come on up to, this camera's pointing at the trees, okay? They don't have it where it's supposed to be. Mile marker 54.5. We're still seeing a lot of traffic in the southbound lanes going faster, but still slow. Northbound looks like it may be up to speed. And then we're going to come up towards the airport where it is slow going there. And that's where they said it should pick back up, but it looks like it's extending now. I'm, let me get past the, there's another accident. I see. 85 southbound between Brockman-McClyman Road and Pelham Road. average speed 21 miles an hour for 4 miles, according to the DOT there. So that's what's causing that, is another accident on the other lane. So let's jump up into Spartanburg County. They generally do a lot better, and it looks like that is the case today. I don't see any issues up in Spartanburg County that are creating havoc. So there you go. Okay, goodness, goodness. Well, let me click off a few things and gain some tabs back where I can see better. And let me tell you about your forecast. And again, another freeze warning is going to take effect at midnight tonight until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So tonight, areas of frost after 4 a.m., otherwise mostly clear, low, around 32. Some places are going to get into the upper 20s. That's where you're going to have to watch out for. You know, we're looking at about the 2,500 foot level. You get higher up, or maybe where cold air gets, trapped in the valley. Sometimes that'll happen. We're going to have what's with the clear skies and very light winds, 5 to 9, you're going to have what's called radiational cooling. Everything is going to evaporate, and once the sun goes down, the temperatures will go down very rapidly. Dry, dry, dry air like we've had today, which, of course, we had the warning about burning. It heats up quickly when the sun comes up, and it dissipates quickly when the sun goes down. And it's just nothing to keep it there. But tomorrow, areas of frost before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny, high near 61. Yeah, here comes the fun part. Friday night going into your Saturday of the weekend. It seems like we've had some interesting weekends. We're looking at a 40% chance of showers Friday night, mainly after 2 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 44. Saturday, showers, thunderstorms are possible after 2 p.m. Some of the storms could produce heavy rainfall, high near 58. So it's going to be a colder rain. Calm wind with becoming southeast at 5 to 8 in the morning. Winds could gust as high as 21 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation, 100%, between 1 to 2 inches of new rainfall possible. Saturday night, more showers, possibly a thunderstorm before 8 p.m., then showers low around 47, and the chance of precipitation Saturday night, 80%, but on Sunday, to go along with the name, sunny, with a high near 67, so clear Sunday night down to 41. The rain will bring in some humidity. You won't have that radiational cooling. Monday, sunny, high near 73. And Monday night, low around 48. Tuesday, mostly sunny, 75, 53 that night. And so it looks like once we get past the weekend into Sunday, we'll pick back up with some sunny skies until we get to Thursday. But that can always change. So welcome to the world of you never know what's coming next. So that's kind of where we're at here at this time. Let's change gears here a little bit and see. I'm not sure. I just saw this real quick, so I'm going to just jump on this page and see if what I saw was right. And I was. Okay. The markets took a big hit today. I don't know why, because I didn't follow it today. But the Dow dropped 321.41 points. And the NASDAQ dropped 131.81. Both the Dow and NASDAQ lost 0.94%. So and that's a point in there. The S&P 500 dropped 38.44, which is 0.92%. So I don't know all the rhyme and reason for that, but it did take a hit today, and took a pretty significant hit, actually. Well, let's also change gears here, and we're going to take another look at the Yeah, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. It's been a long day. The St. Vincent volcano. That's what I'm trying to say. We'll talk a little bit more about that today as we look towards help. And we've had a couple pledges come in today, and we'll read those in just a little bit. Thank you so much. But I'm going to just kind of check here a couple places and see. There's no new postings since the 20th on the My Sea Hope page. So Robert was talking about Scott Hester. He is the what they call Operation ROC, which stands for Reaching Our Caribbean. And they have a video of him and a lady named Mrs. Presley singing at the church service that they had on the 18th. It was at the college campus on St. Vincent, which was not damaged, but it's full because there's just so many places in that little part of the island that people can go. So it is absolutely full. And but they did have church, and it's nice to see that people do that in the middle of a pandemic and then also a disaster. And they find themselves saying, hey, we're going to still worship the Lord and have church. And so that's a real joy. Now, I was reading this, and there's some horrific pictures that I came, and I have to kind of go out of the United States to really find any kind of up-to-date information. I do know that after all of this time, you've heard Pastor Barton say, we get in as quick as we can, the government will come later. Well, we're just now hearing of the UN getting involved, but the things I found out about the St. Vincent and the Grenadines, located in the Southern Caribbean, consist of more than 30 islands and cays, nine of which are inhabited. The others are not inhabited, but they were all affected. In fact, it went as far north as Barbados with ash. So that is part of how incredible this volcano can erupt and shoot. And they're still saying there could be more problems. There could be more earthquakes, more explosions out of the volcano, even into the weeks to come. They didn't say week, they said weeks to come. And that just makes it even harder when you're trying to get into a place. So you're looking at vulnerable people in St. Vincent, Antigua, Barbuda, Barbados, Grenada, and St. Lucia have all been hit with severe ash fall. And in this video where they're shoveling 6 inches of soot, ash off of the roof, so the roof won't cave in, and you see what it consists of, you realize that it's lung damaging. You realize that not only is it lung damaging, but you breathe it. It gets all the way down into your stomach, and it can make you sick. And so they are a country that is in crisis. And I also read that they were recovering, St. Vincent's and the Grenadines, that this crisis came while they were recovering from their largest COVID-19 surge amid the pandemic, and the region's worst dengue outbreak in recent history. And if that wasn't bad enough, a new deadly hurricane system, which they're saying could be paralleled like last year. I mean, the forecast models obviously is don't always they may have to change it here or there, but my soul, how much stuff can people get hit with? And this diseases and things that can come. Now, if you already are dealing with COVID and you already have breathing problems, then you have ash added to it. And then you have dengue added to it. Wow. You're talking an incredible just plague of things they are trying to deal with all at one time. So dengue fever, you know, it's making a comeback is what's happening. And it's getting, it's caused by a virus which has four different strains. Being affected by one strain offers no protection against the others. So it's amazing. And so we're looking at I would say extremely lengthy period. And as we have repeatedly said, the only people that were able to get off the island were those on the cruise ships were those who had been fully vaccinated. And that was it. There was no other ways here. Now, what I'm going to say now only involves people that live in Florida, because there's a group of people in Florida who are willing to come pick up some things and get it down to the port where they could the ship could make a stop on its way. It's not for North Carolina or any other place because we can't get it to them in time. And we don't have the ability to, and the timing of things. This is for people who live in Florida. The latest needs are water, t-shirt, but we can pray about these things. T-shirts and other clothing, canned foods, non-perishable foods, hygiene packs, baby supplies, masks, hand sanitizers, blankets, sheets, sleeping mats, and different types of sleeping material like cots and blow-up mattresses are really neat. Goggles, cleaning supplies, first aid kits, flashlights, flip-flops, sneakers that will hold up to the dusty environment, toilet paper, towels, insect repellent, and then areas of the hygiene stuff we talked about, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, those kind of things. Disposable plates, cups, forks, and spoons, matches, candles, painkillers, vitamins, soap, washing detergent, brooms, mops, wipes, and rice, sugar, macaroni, sleeping bags, water purifying tablets, water tanks, all sizes, shovels, cooking oil, flour, crackers, cheese, pasta, ramen noodles, biscuits, snacks, milk, canned and powdered, and things like Vienna sausages, sardines, things where they pop the top off and don't have to worry about a can opener. And those are things that people can have picked up in Florida and things that we can pray about. We're collecting finances for the ship to make the trip and stock it with other things that it needs as well. And as we've said in the past, prayer is the biggest thing that all of us can do. There's certainly good news there, and prayers are powerful. But if you would like to be a part of it, there are ways to give. And so we want to remind you of that. And in the disaster relief, we have ways to donate. Anchor Baptist has a secure portal at anchorbaptistdisaster.net, but you can go on wgcr.net and you'll see this big banner that talks about the Saint Vincent and the need there. And just below it, it says, click here to donate online, and it'll take you to that secure portal. And there you can use Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express, and it will be automatically taken care of and come right into the ministry. But if you don't want to do it that way, you can call it in at 828-884-9427. Again, the four cards are Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Or you can mail a check to ABMI, which stands for Anchor Baptist Missions International, and you make the check payable to ABMI, and you mail it to 3232 Hendersonville Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina, 28768. And we are doing all that we can that we can help folks in a world that is cut off from all the disaster. And even the Sea Hope will have to find a place where they can get pure water out of the sea and then purify it through. They can do 1,000 gallons a day, but they can't get where the ash is. It'll gum up all of the operation of the machinery. So they're going to have to look logistically, where do we go when we get the water purified? How do we get, where is the ship going to go? Who's going to be able to take care of it? And there's a lot of things that go into that. They are looking at a May 11th, May 12th date to leave. And that is due to the fact that they have to be vaccinated to do this, to get to the island. And they stopped the Johnson & Johnson, which would have been one shot. And now they have to wait for their second one. So that has caused a little bit of a delay. But also, they were getting things fixed on the ship so for the next disaster. And they were able to get someone to come get the ship and to Bahia La Batra, where they were going to do all the bottom maintenance of the boat and then go from there to what I believe now will be sail by Florida, pick up the stuff that's in Florida to Puerto Rico, where they'll refill with the fuel and then on into St. Vincent. But as you've been told, we have islands far north of there that are hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And I do remember Mount St. Helens, how far the ash got up into the air and how many people in other states saw it come down. And I remember it very well because on that date, my wife and I met at Awana headquarters. She moved from her home in Washington State to Chicago, Illinois area, the northwest suburbs. And that's where we met, was at the Awana headquarters. But she was in Florida on the day that Mount St. Helens blew at my ordination service. And her parents lived there. Most of the ash went away from her parents, so they didn't get the heavy stuff, but they did get it's falling out of the sky. So it was quite, and what happens is when it gets up into the atmosphere, it actually changes weather patterns for a while. And so it can be very, very interesting, to say the least. But let me say thank you to a couple folks today, David and Rebecca Rois. I hope I said that right, from Pisgah Forest, $50. Thank you so much for that. And paid, and Janice Bryson, $100. We say thank you out of Mills River paid. Brings us to $8,851. We're real close to hitting $9,000 and not that far off from hitting $10,000. That would be a great milestone to hit. Would be hit the end of the week over $10,000 would be a really great. We would be. I'm trying to think about this, and you heard Pastor Barton say, "Don't do math in your head on radio." But let me see if I can make this work here. I believe. Let me see here. No, that didn't come out right in my head. Let me see. I'm trying to figure out what I want to do here. Okay. And then we have, I know what I did wrong. I know exactly what I did wrong. Okay. I'm going to use a calculator this time. I think that'll be smarter. And let's see here. Times 100, if I remember my formula correctly, 44.68. Let's see what happens here. 8.851 equals. Nope, I didn't do it right. Okay. Whatever it is, it's close. And I was trying to figure out if we got over $10,000. How close that would get us to the 16 that they need to make the trip. And it would get us pretty close. And then, of course, the stock the ship. So we appreciate all who have given. And there have been quite a few folks that have done so thank you from the very bottom of our hearts. And we appreciate all that people do in our needs around here and around the world. And that is an interesting thought. You know, I think the wonderful verse that just kind of tells it all is God didn't love the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is interesting that he said, I just didn't die for a select few. I died for the whole world. And the reason, and you've heard me say this many times on Prayer Time, Drive Time, the reason why we're still here is that when they said to Peter, way back when Peter wrote his second epistle, you know, where is the promise of his coming? For since people have fallen asleep, they've died in Christ. All things continue as before. There's nothing happening. The Lord's out there. He's not doing anything. And then this great verse comes in. It says, the Lord is not slack. He's not slacking concerning his promise. That is not what's keeping him from coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's just waiting on that last person to get in. And when that last person to get in gets in, we're going to change dispensations by the rapture out of here. And then God's going to bring the Jews back, and he's going to seal 144,000. And I've heard some interesting people say some interesting things about who those people are, and none of them are Jews. But it makes it very clear, of the tribe of Issachar, of the tribe of Reuben, of the tribe of Gad, of the tribe of 12,000. He is going to replace our witness with 144,000 Jewish witnesses, and the Jews are going to come back. Now, just as there's a second coming that's in two parts, the Lord coming in the air to take the church home, and then the Lord coming back to earth on a white horse. That is two parts that start this off. The Bible talks about Israel coming back to its homeland in unbelief. That's been happening before our eyes for a couple decades. In fact, in the 1990s, the early 1990s, and I can't remember the year, but he signed my Bible. His name was Gershman Solomon. He was one of the guards that freed the Temple Mount in the 1967 war. And he wrote in my Bible in Hebrew. I had the hardest time deciphering that because I can do Greek much better than Hebrew. And Hebrew, you read backwards. So you would think I'd get it better because it's backwards, but I couldn't. And I finally had somebody that knew Hebrew translate it for me. And he was talking about the Temple Mount and things. But as they were having a time, we were at Trinity, and they were kind of interviewing him through an interpreter. Actually, I believe he could speak English too. He just wrote my Bible in Hebrew. Because I remember distinctly Brother Ralph saying, so you are waiting on the Messiah to come back. And he answered back, no. We are actively doing everything we can to bring him back. Not realizing what he said. He said, in fact, I'm a little nervous that he'll come back to Israel while I'm over here. And Brother Ralph said, I can fix it so you can be anywhere. Yeah, when you're saved, no matter what you are, when you're saved, you're going up with the cloud that comes down. So, but they're coming back in unbelief, but there will be a day when they will come back in belief, and that will be during the end of the tribulation, after all that they go through, and the millennial kingdom will be set up. And Jesus is, if you look at it, the Bible, and you read it correctly, you will find that Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And he performed the functions of all three. And because he is the I am, he's the always going to be, he's king of my life. He's king of my kingdom, my temple. But he will sit on the throne of David to fulfill the Davidic covenant. And when he does that, the Jews will be back in belief. And I've alluded to this verse many times, but it's a verse that haunts me, that Israel will look and say, what are those wounds in your hands? And he'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. What a, it kind of stabs at me when I see that. But yeah, that's all coming to a city near you. And the neat thing is, you could be out on the sea, you could be in a spaceship, you could be under the sea, you could be in an airplane, you could be driving a car, you could be in your house, you could be at your work. When that call, when that trumpet comes, I like what the way Revelation 4:1 puts it. It says, and I heard as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit. Immediately. So those are the things that we look forward to. Well, we say thank you again. Appreciate you being with us. I believe I have one more day with you, and then Pastor Barton should be back. And we look forward to turning it back over to him. And appreciate Brother Barton very much, a man after my own heart. The first day that I met him back in 1991, we were members at Midway Bible Baptist Church. They were having this big conference, so there was a lot of cars. And where was Pastor Barton? Outside parking cars. He's just always been that kind of a person. I appreciate his servant's heart and his love for people, and not only the needs physically and all, but the spiritual need to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But I used to say, before I ever moved up here, see a need, meet the need, you can teach a spiritual truth. When you meet somebody's need, you can then open the door to be able to teach a spiritual truth. And I've seen that work in my life so many times. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will call it a day here on this Thursday. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to just to lift up your name and get excited about the fact that your Bible is just coming right before our eyes. We're seeing it happen. Or as people put things on their heart right now that they'd like to have prayed for, and you read those hearts, would you minister to those folks? And would you help us as we try to minister to those who have been through a catastrophic event in the islands? Thank you for everything that you are doing. May we always see it through heaven's eyes and not ours. And we'll thank you for it in the sweetest name we know, Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This is Pastor Walton filling in for Pastor Barton, praying you have an absolutely awesome day.